May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In 1 Corinthians, similar words that Bracken read. And I'm really not going to talk about Eucharist, but something that was a prelude. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you.'" And he goes on and tells more. The thing that impresses me, that really ministered to me this morning in prayer, is that in verse 24, he says, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body.'" But just before that, it says, Paul got this from the Lord. The Lord gave this to Paul. Paul saw the thing about Eucharist from the Lord. But he says, "That the Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks." That really blesses me, because Jesus gives real insight into the disposition or the attitude that we must be postured in if we're actually going to walk in victory whenever there's conflict in our lives, or we go through attack or hard places in our lives. This is one of the 12. And this is the night in which Jesus was betrayed. And it's really important that you understand the sequence that the Holy Spirit wrote that in. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus gave thanks. Now, Jesus was aware, of course, he even said, "This is the one who's going to betray me." But in that context, what does Jesus do? He praises his Father. He gives thanks. As a matter of fact, he goes down and he says in verse 21 of the Luke passage, "For behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with me on the table. For indeed, the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that man through whom he is betrayed." There's a place in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that says, "Give thanks in all things. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus, giving thanks in all things." And then in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, it says, "Giving thanks for all things." Now again, that place in 1 Thessalonians says, if you want to know what God's will is, it's not real complicated, give thanks in all things. Now everything else will kind of get clear up after you start there. I can't think of anything more painful than someone close to you betraying you. That's one of the reasons I've often thought in praying for my own sons and their destiny in the Lord and how God would use them, is that if they're called into the ministry, particularly in terms of pastoral ministry at all, that the most difficult thing they'll deal with is betrayal. It's the most difficult thing you deal with if you're not in the ministry. If someone close to you or a family member, misunderstanding or whatever the reason is, betray you. And when I look back on my life at 66, those are the most painful things I've ever experienced. Worse than the death of someone is when someone close to you has betrayed you. And yet in that context, it says, Jesus gave thanks. How could he give thanks? What many of us do is moan and complain and entertain resentment and unforgiveness and bitterness. But if you're giving thanks, it's difficult for all that other stuff to gain any ground. If the context in which you're experiencing hardship is the context in which you decide you're going to give God thanks, There is no room for resentment or moaning and complaining and bitterness and unforgiveness to enter. But here's the deal. How in the world can you give thanks when somebody does something so evil, when somebody betrays you? Because you need to understand this. No matter what someone's done to you, betrayal can never be from God. Go find that one in 1 Corinthians 13 and explain it to me. Love is betrayal. No, love is bitterness when somebody has betrayed you. Love is betraying somebody who betrayed you, getting back at them. I can't find that anywhere. We give thanks because God hasn't changed. He is still who He is. God's glory is God's presence and God's nature. To glorify God is to point at God's presence and to point at God's nature. That's what it means to glorify Him. To reflect back on His presence and on His nature. When we praise God, we're reflecting back on His character, on His nature, and on His presence. His nature's not changed. When we give thanks in the midst of the most painful stuff, we're acknowledging that He hasn't changed. We live in a fallen world, and fallen things happen, but He's still good. He's still love. He's still holy. He's still wise. He still is who He is. That's not changed one bit. The second thing is that even if He didn't cause it, He will cause it to work together for good. God's not the cause of evil. We can't blame evil on Him. But it says in verse 22, "For indeed the Son of Man is going as has been determined, but woe to that man through whom He is betrayed." God didn't cause Him to betray Him. God didn't say, "I'm going to put it in you to sin and then hold you accountable for the sin I put it in you to commit." Judas made free will. He had free will. He made a choice. But God used that choice for good in the life of Jesus. And whenever you and I go through a hard place, the enemy may be the source of it. It may be absolutely coming from a place of evil. But we can thank the Lord and stand thanking the Lord because He's not changed and He'll use it for good. You with me? I'm not going to blame God for this. But I can believe that in the battle, God will use it for good. I was praying for Livia this morning, just for her healing. For several others, they're healing. I won't blame God for sickness and disease. It's a result of the fall. But I know that until she's healed, God's using it for good. I can thank Him for that. And I can thank Him that His character hasn't changed one bit. And freedom comes from a disposition of thankfulness. And that's not just in big deals like somebody betraying you. What about just in life when things don't go the way you wanted them to and your to-do list got messed up or people aren't responding the way you thought they should to the brilliant idea you just gave them? What is our disposition to be? To give thanks. To give thanks that, God, You're still good. I'm going to praise You because You're the one certainty that hasn't changed. And even if that person's being a knucklehead and not listening to my good idea, You're going to cause us all to work together for good. You just unscramble a lot of things, even when people are involved. And when people are involved, they scramble stuff up a lot. Amen? Amen. I love the fact that it says on the night in which He was betrayed, and Jesus was giving thanks. What a great way to respond. It's the biblical way to respond. Jesus, who's the author and the perfecter of faith, modeled to us in that example what faith looks like when you're under assault, when things aren't going the way you would wish they would, when you're hurt or disappointed, Jesus modeled what faith looks like. Gives thanks to God. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.